Save, Lord, your people. The people of the Lord are here this morning, today, gathered to celebrate the feast of the Lord's entry into Jerusalem. At the risk of asking a simple question that might seem silly, let me ask it anyway. What do we celebrate today? Entry of Christ into Jerusalem. I would say that's at best 50% correct. What else are we celebrating? Let me ask a question I've asked in the past. Why are you? My branches are in the altar because I only have two hands. Why are you carrying these branches?
To glorify Christ.
To glorify Christ. Keep in mind that we have read the gospel according to St. John this morning. It is only in John's gospel that we hear about palms being carried by the people gathering in Jerusalem. Why? Why are the people carrying palms?
Maybe he's the Messiah.
Anything else?
Yes, of course. Yes.
The palm frond was a political symbol of Israel. The Jews are gathering in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They hear that Jesus is coming to the city, to the holy city. They're carrying these fronds as a sign that they belong to the nation of Israel, the worldly, earthly nation of Israel. They also are carrying these fronds because they want Jesus to be their not only Messiah, they want him to be their king.
What do the people cry out to Jesus when he enters the holy city? Hosanna, and what else? Hosanna the high, what else?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Keep in mind that in the Gospel of John, there is an attempt to make Jesus king. Does he accept it?
No.
Why? Because his kingdom is not of this world. So let's get back to why. Why are we holding these branches and palms today? Are we reenacting something that happened 2,000 years ago?
No.
If so, then we are people to be greatly pitied. And we should consider ourselves a group of pathetic Christians. Why are we carrying these branches? Why are we holding them?
Celebrate
his actual kingdom. We are members of the kingdom of God. We heard yesterday from the letter to the Hebrews that we are a people who belong to the unshakable kingdom of God, the immovable kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God. That kingdom is being manifested here in this gathering as we celebrate the new and eternal covenant. To carry these branches, to carry these palms, signifies that we belong not to an earthly kingdom, not to an earthly king, but we belong to the kingdom of God, which is now being inaugurated in time and space. We belong, we are a people belonging to the kingdom of God, which has the vocation, which has the calling to bring everyone and everything into this kingdom. Indeed, it would not be an exaggeration to say that because we are members of this unshakable kingdom, because we are members of the living body of Christ, we are to make the world, the cosmos, into church.
church as precisely this living body, living, breathing body, animated by the Holy Spirit, sustained by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, so that, as we said yesterday, the words that come out of our mouths are the words that offer life, are the words that offer hope, are the words that offer the uncreated might of the triune and tri-personal God. Jesus enters Jerusalem, and this is a review. What kind of entry is this, if we truly examine all the facts?
Humble entry.
It's a humble entry. How so?
He's on the fall of an ass.
He's on the fall of an ass. But keep in mind, great conquerors, great kings, great generals entered the conquered cities, the conquered territories, sitting on the fall of an ass. So if anything, sitting on the fall of an ass points to Jesus as king. There's no conquered ruler to meet him. As I mentioned in the past, I'll mention it today. Where are the religious, social, and political elites? The religious leaders are seeking to plot Jesus' death. There are no political leaders. Why? It's unthinkable for the Roman authorities to greet Jesus as the new king of Israel. Of course, this is an impossibility. And the social elites are also absent. If we look at the entry of conquering kings and generals, if we look at the texts, there are many texts. They all refer to the religious, political, and social elite gathering to meet the conqueror, who, in many respects, then makes his way to the place of worship. Jesus, of course, is making his way to the temple. But in making his way to the temple, he is showing himself to be the one who is establishing a kingdom that will begin not within the walls of Jerusalem, but outside its walls on Golgotha. The new kingdom, the new king, the eternal king will be revealed on Golgotha, will be revealed from the cross. Jesus is the anointed one of God, he is the Messiah, and he is king, but he is not king of a political entity. He is the king of the universe. And as we will read during the Paschal season about the Samaritan woman, does anyone remember how Jesus is referred to by the Samaritans?
See,
the Orthodox need to study the Bible.
The Savior of the world. Savior of the world.
He is the Savior of the world. So dear to Cosmo, whose title is that?
Caesar's
title. Jesus is the one who takes that title and makes it his own. This new king is indeed the humble king, because his power and glory and reign will be revealed from the cross. Now, we make mention of Jesus sitting on the fall of an ass, and this is one of the signs that he is a mighty king. What are the other signs that we have heard this morning? People are calling him king, but there's a very interesting sign that is easily overlooked, and it is given before Jesus goes into Jerusalem.
The anointing.
How does this anointing refer to Jesus as king? It is an anointing that is preparing for his what?
Which
is bearer. How does it refer to him as king?
Because he conquers.
conquers death. Here, see, again, I have the text in my hand, so I have the advantage. There are some very important details about this nard. And we get the data from Judas. What do we know about this nard? It's very costly. This is what the evangelist is telling us. It is very costly. How costly is it for those who were listening to the deacon read the gospel?
300 silver pieces.
300 denarii. Now, who knows what labor was paid during the time of Jesus? Think of 300 denarii. One denarius was a day's wage. One denarius. This is almost a year's worth of wages being spent on this oil, expensive oil, royal oil, to prepare Jesus for his death, for his burial. Now there is another detail which we will hear during Holy Week, and we only hear about it in the Gospel of John. Jesus is removed from the cross by whom? Joseph of Arimathea. Everyone should know this. I'm getting a little nervous here. How much do we Orthodox know about our Christianity? Joseph of Arimathea removes Jesus from the cross. Who accompanies Joseph? Nicodemus. In the Gospel according to St. John, for those who are a little bit at least familiar with the scripture, what do we know about Nicodemus?
He came to Jesus in the dark, but he couldn't be seen.
Yes, he is a disciple of Jesus. He's a student of Jesus. But at the time of crucifixion, what does he bring along with him? What do Joseph and Nicodemus have with them as they prepare Jesus for burial? Spices. But St. John always provides very interesting information. Not just spices. How many pounds of spices? 800 pounds. This is an extraordinary amount. It's an amount that is or would have been used for the preparing of the body of a king. The king of Israel is suspended on the cross. The king of Israel enters his city to establish the kingdom that will embrace all peoples, Jews and Gentiles. Immediately after what we have heard this morning from the Gospel according to St. John, there are a group of Greeks seeking to meet with Jesus. These Greeks may very well have been Jewish proselytes, but what is very important is that John mentions that there are Greeks seeking to know who Jesus is, seeking to become his disciples. So, in the theme of John's Gospel, this is another sign that Jesus is the universal King. Indeed, he is the King of the Jews and of Gentiles. Indeed, he is the universal Sotir du Cosmo, the Savior of the world, who brings the world new life. New life because he, as the humble King, destroys sin and death. He is the one who harrows the realm of evil. He is the one who makes possible death to be swallowed up by life. So when we gather here to celebrate the new covenant, when we gather here on this day to carry branches and palms, we are not reenacting anything. We are affirming that we are a people who belong to the unshakable kingdom of the living God, the
the living God who gave himself up for the life of the world and its salvation. When we carry these branches, we're not just carrying them as people, I don't know, we have little parades that take place in some places. We're not parading. We are proclaiming and manifesting that indeed the humble king riding on the foal of an ass is the one whose glory revealed from the cross makes possible for us to have new and eternal life with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.